Today on Marketing Mavericks, we talk to co-founder and CMO of 24Me, Liat Mordecai, about how to go from startup to top iTunes app in just a few months, and how do you keep up the work-life balance? That and more coming up next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Marketing Mavericks is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Marketing Mavericks is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Go to Squarespace.com and enter the code MM at checkout to get 10% off. And by Shutterstock.com. With over 52 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 20% off image subscription packages on your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code MM415. This is Marketing Mavericks, episode 52, recorded Thursday, April 23rd, 2015. Liat Mordecai. Welcome to Marketing Mavericks, where we talk about everything at the intersection of marketing and technology. And today we're going to talk about being a founder of an app and the head of marketing. How do you get it going? How do you get people excited? And how do you end up as one of the top apps being and actually launching on the Apple Watch, which is tomorrow, just announced. And I'm your host, Tanya Hall. We're going to talk all about that and more. Our technical director, Anthony Nielsen, also joins us. Anthony.
Hey there. How's it going?
How's it going, Anthony? Now, when is it that you get the kitten again?
I should have a new foster next week. Next I think like week. Three kittens or something like that.
Oh, three? Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I may or may not want a kitten. I totally want a kitten.
You I know. Should.
I've been wanting one for a long time. Just saying. So you'll have to let me know when you get those. So
yeah,
lots of interesting stuff with the Apple Watch. Are you going to get one?
I think I'm going to wait till the second gen.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see.
Well, tomorrow they are available in luxury stores. And our guest today is the founder of an app who has been out for about a year. In fact, their app was featured on one of our previous shows when it launched. With Sarah Lane and Social Hour. And we've got her back to talk about how they've grown, how it is to be the head of marketing, and the success so far of their app, which is on Apple and Android. Welcome to the show. It's Liat Mordecai, and you are the co-founder and chief marketing officer of 24Me. Hopefully I said your
That's
name right.
Correct. Yeah, you were perfect.
Thanks. So
I know it's complicated.
Well, it is. But I said it perfectly this morning. And the minute I say I'm going to do great, it's like one of those things, right? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I know.
So I think we all have wanted to have that extra hour back in our day. We've all got a zillion things going on, whether you're, you know, managing kids, maybe you're managing a business, maybe you travel a lot. There's so many different things. There's so many different apps that we have to manage our life. And what you're doing is actually really helpful to just about anybody. I don't care if you're a business professional or a mom or like yourself, both as an entrepreneur. So it's a really useful app. Tell us really quickly, just what is 24Me?
Right. Yeah. So as you mentioned, like time is a very scarce and very precious asset for all of us. We all trying to save as much time as we can so we can really put it in the things that we love to do. 24Me is all about that. It's all about saving your time, organizing your life, organizing your schedule, and not only providing you with one place to manage everything. And when I'm saying one place, 24Me is connected to all your calendars, all your tasks and notes, iPhone reminders, and your personal accounts, so that it can pull information from your personal accounts and create that as a time of events. So it's a one-stop shop for managing your life. But we're not I mean, we don't believe that this is the only solution. We believe that the solution is also combining it with ways to help you actually to get rid of your tasks and errands. So next to each task or event in 24ME, there is a completion button. Then once you tap on that, we help you. 24ME helps you to complete that, to accomplish your task. So if it's an errand task, we connect you with real life assistance, which is like currently it's a marketplace that you're working on with TaskRabbit. If it's any kind of an event, so we can actually with one tap, it navigates you to the meeting, and it has all kind of personalized notifications from time to leave to meeting based on traffic to agenda to for tomorrow. And even something new that we added recently, it's kind of a procrastination fighter that suggests you the right time to complete your tasks based on your behavior.
Yeah, I don't know if that's good. No, I'm just kidding. No, it is great. It's helpful because, you know, you can use an app, but most of these apps you have to go to proactively to get to do something. This actually helps you remember. And if you travel a lot, you're trying to remember, oh my gosh, today's the day I pay my, you know, home insurance or whatever it is that you have to do. Definitely it helps to be organized. Remember that you have to be at the Russian consulate to get your visa because, oops, you're going to not be able to go.
That's right. Or maybe you can have someone else do that for you.
Exactly. So talk about from the time that you launched. You launched last September, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we actually did some MVP and trials before. The first alpha was released in early 2013. And it was a kind of automatic task manager that also connects to a few accounts like social networks and some providers. And the first time that we put it, and we're still in stealth, the first time that we put it on the App Store, and we tried to target the U.S. market, it got featured worldwide by Apple, and also was for maybe 6 months or so one of the 10 essential productivity apps in the U.S. App Store. So we kind of went out of stealth. We were featured worldwide. The beta was the unified calendar with the task manager, which was more approaching to where we wanted to be with the complete solution, the holistic solution of time management. And the release was in September when I actually joined the social hour with Amber and Sarah, and we spoke about that. And that was a complete solution of 24ME, the time management app that connects to all those resources of information and presents you with a very organized way of what happens with your schedule, with your tasks, with your meetings, with your events, with your notes, and everything that has a time appears on your calendar.
And how many downloads do you have today? How many customers do you have from the time of launch?
So we're approaching a million users already.
Congratulations.
And thank you. Thank you so much. And so far we also launched, as you mentioned, the Android version. So we are also serving users that are using Android.
From the standpoint of usage and who's using your app, do you have any data on, you know, the type of person that tends to be interested in your app or their country of origin? I mean, where is your popularity?
So the popularity of 24ME is mostly in the U.S. market. Although we're seeing some interesting data from users coming from European countries, mostly Russia, Turkey. But the dominating market is definitely people coming from America, and that's what we see the most. As for the profile of the users, it really scatters. But mostly we see users in the ages of 25 to 32, and it's equal, men and women.
This is a free app, so it doesn't cost anything to download, which is great.
That's right.
I love free apps. But there is some, you have to be able to monetize. How do you monetize 24ME?
So we currently don't monetize, and it's a free app. And in the future, there will be some monetizations model that we're going to put into Uniformeats. Mostly, we're not going to charge the users about it. It's mostly for the businesses that we're working with. So will be around transactions that will be done through 24me.
So you're going to use it on like a percentage of transactions, maybe, I don't know, with the hotels, I'm assuming, or other types of retailers and vendors.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have investors right now to support your time? Do you have?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Yeah, we do. So in regards to the investment or in regards to how is it working in the first stages of a startup company?
Yeah. So talk about when you decided to... Let's just take a step even further back to, you know, let's just go way back with you, Leah. And talk about, you know, I was noticing one of the things on your resume, for example, was that you, although you're in Israel, you actually went to school in St. Louis, which is, I'm from St. Louis. So I said,
oh,
St. Louis. See, I know. I lived in St. Louis for about 10 years of my life. Yeah. Mm. And interesting city. I actually really like St. Louis. I think St. Louis gets a bad rap. It's very culture, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Although I spent there only 2 years, and in those 2 years, I was super busy. I was the first mom of two babies and an MBA student, and I worked for another startup. So it was like really a very intensive 2 years in St. Louis. So I didn't manage to enjoy the city that much. But it was a nice experience, and I really liked the people there, and I still have friends from St. Louis. So it was nice, very, very nice.
Now you have three children. You've also, in the meantime, you know, you talked about before this startup, you actually had another product that you launched. What was that?
Mm-hmm. So after I graduated my MBA in St. Louis, we moved to Stamford, Connecticut, and Gilad, my husband, which is my partner today, he joined a startup company. And during that time, I started my first venture. The first startup was as a young mom for two babies. I was traveling a lot to Israel and to other countries, and always with one hand holding a baby and the other one is trying to do, you know, a baby bottle or something like that. So I invented the baby bottle that has two separate compartments, one for the powder and one for the water, because once you mix the water and the powder, you can only serve it for 45 minutes. So I made that. So, you know, you can have just one button. Once you push on that button, the powder goes to the water, you can mix it, and that's it. You serve the baby. So there's no hassles, you know, opening it and trying to pour the right measurements of water and powder when you're too busy or don't have a spare hand for you. So I did that. I had some patents on that. I managed to have a senior CEO of a baby bottle company join my team. But eventually, after we had a prototype and we had some connections, I decided that I didn't want to move forward and fight over shelves in Walmart and Target. And you know, I really truly believe probably that, you know, my ego was to go back to startups, which I did for the last 15 years or so.
Why did you decide to partner with your husband and start 24me? What was the impetus? What was the moment where you're like, this is what we should do? What happened?
So, you know, it's kind of a long, short story for us. First of all, I really want to cooperate with Gilad for quite some time. We are both computer scientists, and we graduated a BA in computer science. And he is very, very... a different, very, very smart, and have a lot of experience in product UI, UX, and we really complement each other. And I always knew that this combination could work very well because I bring with me a lot of experience in business and in marketing and in product. And I really thought that, you know, combining those two characters together could work. And also, you know, it's fun to work with someone that you love. So I always wanted to do that, and we just probably needed the right time. So the right time arrived at the end of 2012, at the beginning of 2013, when after our third baby joined the family, Naomi, and we were at the time parents for three toddlers, three babies, just felt that we were overwhelmed. You know, we were working. I was consulting to startups, and I did big projects in Israel and in America, and Gilad was working for startup companies. So we were very busy. We tried to find solutions that will help us better manage our time and organize our life. And we really couldn't find something that really helped us. Everything seems to be like good replacements for pen and paper. And we really looked for solutions that will take it to the next step. And, I'm procrastinating a lot. I hate to deal with my finance. I hate to deal with my, tickets. And I remember that we sit together one night and we said, what's going on? I mean, how can we build our life in a better way and enjoy it, you know, not investing too much time in managing, you know? And at that night, we just knew that that's what we're going to build. We're going to build a personal assistant for everyone, not only for business people, but for people like us, you know, parents, busy people that just want to have a personal assistant and can't afford it. You know, not everyone can afford a personal assistant. And that's what we're doing. We're building a personal assistant for everyone. And our mission is to help you save time. And whatever you can do with 24me. And in the future, it will add more abilities. So, you know, you can outsource things and you can manage your financials and just be ahead and of everything, be on top of everything.
I want to talk about your previous marketing experience, what you did for apps and that sort of thing. But before I do, mm-hmm. I want to thank a sponsor of Marketing Mavericks, which is Squarespace. This episode of Marketing Mavericks is brought to you by Squarespace.com. With Squarespace, it's easy for you to create a professional website, a blog, or online store. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. In fact, many of the guests that we've had, they'll always say, you know, after the show or maybe even after we talk about Squarespace, they'll say, I used Squarespace. I had an experience where I needed a website and I built it for, I don't know, my nonprofit or the company I was starting. It's so easy to use. In fact, here's why you're going to love Squarespace. It is simple, powerful, and beautiful. Making changes is clearer and simpler than ever. And it's incredibly easy to use. That's the biggest fear I think so many people have. And if you want some help, Squarespace has a live chat and email support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Get this. Squarespace starts at just $8 a month. And they take care of the hosting so that you don't have to. Plus, you get a free domain name if you buy Squarespace for a year. All Squarespace websites are responsive and scale to look great on any device. And e-commerce is available. Every website comes with a free online store. With cover pages, you get set up a beautiful one-page online presence in minutes. It's perfect for creating quick landing pages for your brand, your personal identity, or to promote a new product. Plus, get this, okay, special announcement. Squarespace is hiring engineers who are ready for the next step in their career. That's why they created NY Commit, an initiative that will select up to 10 engineers from all over America to experience the history, vibrance, and diversity of New York City. So apply today, and if you interview by April the 30th, you and your spouse or partner will get to spend a complimentary weekend in New York City. To learn more, visit nycommit.com. That's nycommit.com. And start a trial with no credit card required. And start building your website today. When you sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code MM to get 10% off your first purchase. We thank Squarespace for their support of Marketing Mavericks. Squarespace, built it beautiful. And I kid you not, I'm always like, wow, you use Squarespace? It's just a really, really common way. And everybody needs some sort of outlet. I don't know. Even if you're a stay-at-home mom, maybe you want to put all your recipes all together looking great for your kids. My sister's got 5, and they're constantly asking her, hey, mom, how did you make this? Well, you know, use Squarespace, set it up, and there you still want your kids to call, but at least they have a resource for you. And our guest today, which is Liat Mordecai, who is the chief marketing officer, but also the co-founder of 24Me. We're talking about 24Me, your career, what the app does, what it is that you guys are doing. And something that I want to get to next is this idea of, you know, as a chief marketing officer and head of marketing for something that it's become quite successful. You guys are doing a great job with this.
Thank you.
How did you first approach marketing? Let's even go back to your experience. You mentioned, and I've done a lot of this as well, I started in traditional marketing, and then I started working with startups, which is a very different type of marketing in many ways. You said you did a lot of startup marketing, and that was your passion. How did you use, we know any of the startups that you worked on before?
I'm not quite sure because not many of them were consumer. They were actually B2B, so that type of marketing that I knew before wasn't the kind of marketing that I needed to learn and what I'm doing today at 24Me. But what I had a lot of experience with, I'm coming from technology, so I studied technology and it helped me a lot throughout my career in doing businesses. I worked with big corporations, with Xerox, with other Fortune 500 companies in the States. And I get a lot of experience in product, in UI, UX, and marketing in a way for businesses, big organizations. It is actually my first marketing per se position in 24Me. And I think that before we even dive into what we're doing in marketing, and especially in 24Me, I think that marketing is something very broad and very versatile. I mean, you have so many things under the umbrella of marketing. I mean, starting from social media to, relationships with the users and how do you interact with users. And consumer is something very, very different than businesses. So it's like a whole new theory or a whole new thing that you need to study. And if you're approaching a consumer, you need to learn a lot. And it's mostly you're working with something. You see if it's working. If it's not, you need to change. And you need to move on to the other tactics. So there are like tactics that you try and examine. And if it's not working, you move on to the next one.
What are some of the tactics that you tried maybe even early on that didn't work well and you said, okay, well, this was a loss. That's clearly not for us. What comes to mind when I say that?
I'll start with something that did help. And that's something that we're still seeing that it's helping a lot and it helps us to be where we are today. And I want to start with that because I think this is also can help a lot of marketing people in other companies as well. So our theory is always you listen to your users. I mean, if you're a consumer company, you need to listen to your users. You initially, when you start the MVP and you're trying to see if there is a fit with your product to the market, the initial feedback is a must, right? So what we're doing, we correspond a lot with our users, we send the emails to our users and we really, you know, ask them to send us feedback of what's going on. We even, you know, if we can, we can call, and we always put our emails out there so they can correspond with us. And that helped us a lot because things that we thought in the initial MVP we thought that would work alone, some things on the viral, like Facebook posts and things like that, really didn't really work for us. And, you know, as a startup company, you're always trying to find the viral points that will work better. So the emails and listening to our users really helped us. And as for your question of what didn't work, so, you know, using another platform like Facebook or Twitter, we saw that recently, you know, Twitter and Meerkat, that it was very, very difficult for Meerkat with all the limitations that Twitter put on them. So we were using the Facebook platform and thought that, you know, posting birthdays posts would work amazing. It didn't that much. So, you know, you see that it's not working. You're working with analytics and you move on to other features that work much better. But I think mainly in marketing is tightly related to the product itself. And you always need to change the product, enhance the UI, UX. What worked for you a few months ago could be not relevant, you know, a few months later. So always improve your UI and UX and listen to the users.
You talked about email being a really important thing, a part of your marketing mix. And it's funny because when we think of email, I think, you know, we still mentally have it as this old way to communicate, but it is still incredibly powerful. And you're going to connect with the people that are most interested in your product because, there's spam, but, you know, it is still a very, very strong piece of a marketing tool that's clearly working for you guys. How did you approach email? What did you buy a list? Did you have people sign up? What was the way that you launched that part of your marketing mix?
Yeah, great question. The way that we did it, we send a personal email to our users. And first of all, we thank them for using 24me. And I think the thank you is something very, very important. That once a user is trying your app and you get a kind of a thank you email from the CEO of the company, it gives him a very good feeling that, you know, I'm doing something and somebody is thanking me for trying his app. So that was the first thing. And in this email, we really ask, it's personal email, we really ask for feedback, for things that he likes, for things that he doesn't like, you don't like. And users respond to that email. And this really, really helps. This is really, really helping us. So this is like, I totally agree with you. Like, it seems like a very old fashioned way, but, I see it as a very crucial method to communicate with your users.
What are your opening percentages? I mean, you find that people open and respond. Are they clicking through? Do you put videos? What's kind of your formula for the email?
So it really depends. For the first email, the opening response are really, really high. It's higher than 60%. And as for other campaigns that we're doing, it really depends in the campaigns. I'll tell you like a secret that we have. We find the really simple emails working much better than all the fancy HTML, you know, with all, you know, the beautiful images and videos embedded with them. Simple emails, short ones, work much better than all the rest. And we can have like opening rates of more than 50% or more on those kind of emails. We're in the regular ones, the regular campaigns that we send out, you know, the opening rates could range between 50% to 27-30%, and that could be a very good good indication for that.
Zombie Girl in our chat rooms had a couple of really good questions. And one of her questions was about surveys. And we've all been there where we go to a website or an app pops up and says, hey, take our survey. And I'm usually like this person, even though as a marketer, I know how important this information is. I'm like, stop bothering me right now. I need to address whatever it is that I'm using this app for. How do you get people to be responsive with your surveys?
So we are not sending surveys. And the way that we do surveys is we're going outside of our office, going down to the street, and really talking with people. We show them new features and new developments that we're doing. We're collecting a bunch of, like, we talk regularly with between 20 to 40 people every time. And we write down the response. We even type it and take videos of their response to see how they react to the new features. And we learn a lot from there. I think that it's working much better than, you know, the surveys that you send out with within an emails. Although, I mean, I don't think it's, you know, it's a very good, every method is good. I mean, in every business, in every app, in every single product has different ways to tackle it. So for us, this method is working much better. I need to see the users. I need to see how they respond to a new feature that we're adding. If they really see it, you know, I'm adding a new button. Can they see it? How do they react to that? So we're literally going down to the street and meeting with people and asking them about their opinion about it.
Old-fashioned focus groups. I love it, right? But no, but I mean...
Working. It's working.
It's always amazing. It's always worked well because you do. You get these focus groups together, or to your point, you kind of get up on the street and you do. You watch the reactions of the people that are in your focus group or your focus group whether it's a focus group of 10. And as a marketer, we do that all the time because we want to see how they're reacting to the website. How do they react to the features of this? How do they even react to the advertising that we put together? Do they like it? Are they actually going to buy? What are their reactions? I think that's a really brilliant approach. Something else that Zombie Girl asked in the chat room, because you're still very early, I would imagine that this would be in the beginning phases, but as more apps become available that maybe compete with what you're offering, have you put some sort of loyalty program or retention program together to entice users to continue to use your app and not delete it or stop using it?
Excellent question, especially for consumer apps, which we all know that retention is something much, much harder these days than the number of downloads. And I think there was a report that was published a few months ago that is showing that retention number for apps is going dramatically down every few months. So for every new product launching, I think that it starts and ends with the product offering. So if your product is really solving a huge problem, is it really solving a pain and has a very intuitive and simple UI, that could work. If not, so that could be a question, that could be a problem. So the way that we're doing it and we're measuring, and we're really hard on data, you know, we're measuring the retention, we managed to grow retention number. We can say we doubled the numbers from our first release. And we kind of have very high retention rates of users. And it's mostly because once a user logged into 24Me, we know exactly what are the things he's doing that will get him back to 24Me the next day. And there are lots of other personalized notifications in 24Me that the user finds very, very helpful for him. I just said for agenda for tomorrow, for instance, you know, how many tasks and how many meetings you have for tomorrow. Other personalized notifications, and those really engage the users to go back and use 24Me. You know, you always need to be very, very careful with that, of what type of notifications you put out there, and also to enable the user to have the ability to turn things off if he's not interested in that as well. So this is something that we're doing. It's a very, very good question because this is mainly our focus as a young company. You always need to know that you need to work on engagement much stronger, put lots of efforts on that other than, you know, bringing new users. I mean, you need to work on both, but retention is, I think, for us, is very, very important.
I would agree. I think, you know, especially because, let's face it, once they download the app, they start using it. If they decide to delete your app, then they're a lot less likely to go back and try the app again. So you really have one chance to continue to entice them. For those that have deleted your app, have you sent out any sort of survey to them, or have you tried to reach out to them or determine what it is that what was the reason behind them stopping your product? So maybe focus on that as far as an enhancement.
Actually, we didn't do that. And we were focusing on, you know, if it didn't work with those, I don't want to fight over. We do see that some users that downloaded the app without us approaching them, if they are still registered to our emails and they see, you know, new versions and how the product improved over the time. And we see that, you know, we see them, you know, coming and installing the app again and using it again. So this is also a kind of a tactic to keep them in the loop. And let them know and inform them of what are the new things that you added to 24Me that maybe, you know, a few months ago weren't that important. And now with the new addition, it turns to be, you know, a killer feature that you really need to have on your iPhone. So that's what we're doing. But, you know, we're not kind of doing any surveys and campaigns for users who deleted the app and ask them or convince them of doing a second chance. As a young company, we really need to focus on things that are working, things that are not working, to change them very, very fast. And for consumer, you know, since you're, and you mentioned that earlier, you have really one chance. So once you open the app, it needs to load the data really, really quick. And you need to present the user the value that you have in your app immediately. So if users doesn't see that, it's kind of, as you mentioned, you know, we have just one chance. So they will delete it and won't use it anymore. And it's very hard to change that perception. So I would rather to focus on bringing new users than, you know, trying to fight over the users that tried to download 24Me before and decided to delete that.
What are the most popular features? And I'm thinking, you know, to myself, as silly as this may sound to a lot of people, and I know that, you know, it may not help them, but actually Facebook reminds me of birthdays. In fact, today is my sister's birthday. Happy birthday, Gary.
Hey!
But Facebook helps me remember birthdays. I may remember it for a week before. I may even remember it the day after on my own. But it's helpful to have an app or some sort of reminder. Because, you know, it just makes that person feel special that you remembered them and that you said happy birthday to them. It sounds simple, and there are much more other types of more functional or business types of reasons why we want, you know, we don't want to miss our flight or whatnot. What do you find are some of the most popular features on your app?
So I think the offering itself, which is a suite of, you know, your calendar and your to-do list and your notes, all fully synced in one app, is kind of the offering that users like the most. But if we drill down to, you know, the specific features in 24Me that people love and use the most, this is like it's time to leave for a meeting based on traffic. People, you know, today hate to be late or hate to be early, and this notification really gives you the right time that you need to leave and be in your destination point on time. And for me, I know that once, you know, I'm not packing up my bag and going to my car, I know that I'm going to be late once I get that beep from 24Me. So this is one of the best features that in 24Me that users really like. Agenda, heads up for tomorrow, what you have on your plans, get ready for that. And even the weather notification, if it's going to rain tomorrow and you need to take your umbrella with you, people really, really like that. But, you know, it's a really different offering than other apps out there, because what we're providing is kind of a multi-purpose app built around the idea of being all-in-one personal assistant for everyone. So it's the predictive calendar, which gives you navigation, and the task managers that can pull information from your accounts, from your social networks. You mentioned earlier birthdays. So 24Me pulls that information from your Facebook, actually, and it reminds you that tomorrow your sister is celebrating her birthday, and it appears right in your calendar with a button that you can greet her right off your calendar. It reminds you about a bill that you need to pay. So you can pay that bill from your calendar. So whole bunch of features that create for me kind of unique for users. Users hate to install four different apps for one purpose, right? So they kind of get one simple dashboard that provides them with all the information that they need to know. And on top, 24Me works around their data to provide them with anticipatory information and notification that helps them be on top of things.
How do the partnerships work? I mean, I've done this a lot for other startups, and it's critical that you determine early on who first off, what is your monetization model going to be like, and how do you leverage the right partnership relationships, whether it's products that are out there, or and maybe in your case, the industries that you're working with, whether it's travel, hotels, whatnot. How do you approach the partnership relationships that you want to have?
Yeah, it's something very, very important. Who are the partnerships? How are you working with them? And not always what you think in the first place is going to work long term, right? And this is kind of why you're trying an MVP. And you see not only with the market fit, but also with the partnerships, right? So we decided to cooperate with the TaskRabbit, a leading marketplace for errands. Mm-hmm. And what we had in 24Me is 24Me recognizes tasks which are errands, and those tasks which recognizes errands has a special button next to it, that once you tap, you're going through a very short process, and you can get real life assistants that are going to come and help you with all different kind of errands, from cleaning services to delivery and many others. So, and a few of these partnerships that we've made, actually we did it for free because we wanted to present a very unique offering. We are not focusing on making money now. We really want to have big partners with us, and we're doing that also with Mint Bills. And it's mainly to present the users with a really valuable product that can help him and can help also the partners with, bringing them more traffic to 24Me.
Do you find, I think when I first started working in the startup space and I was kind of acting CMO for startups and helping them build relationships with clients, I certainly found that there were a lot of open-minded marketers. There were still some that really didn't understand. We're much further along now. And I think, most heads of marketing get that they need to have relationships, but some of them aren't quite as savvy. How is that working for you? Are you finding that the clients you're approaching to maybe partner with really understand that leveraging your app is going to be a huge benefit to them? Are they receptive? Or do you have to really educate them on how the technology works?
So this is also a very good question. I also think it's kind of relates to the maturity of the product itself. So when you're very young, obviously, you need to convince them, as you're doing with, investors, for instance, why your solution is going to work, and what is the value that you're going to create your partners. Throughout the way, as you're getting more experience and more value, and you have users and you have more partners, it becomes to be very easy because it's out there. Everybody understands the value, and it's more easy to convince new partners to join in. We kind of have in our position, and it's very nice. I think we are fortunate to have that partners are asking to join 24Me and being a part, which is, like, for us, it's amazing. It's nice. It's a good indication that the platform is working and the product is working, and it has a very good reputation, and I think that's what happens throughout the way of a product maturity.
I want to talk about staying focused, about maybe some of the relationship you've had in the industry, maybe advice that you've been given, and being a female entrepreneur. Before I do, I want to thank a sponsor of Marketing Mavericks, another one, and that is, which is Shutterstock. This episode of Marketing Mavericks is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. At Shutterstock.com, you'll find the perfect image or video for your next project. Whether it's for your website, a publication, an advertisement, a video, or any other type of project, you can choose from over 52 million high-quality photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips. Shutterstock sources images from around the world and puts them at your fingertips. Many contributors to Shutterstock are professional photographers and artists. Shutterstock reviews each image individually for content and quality before adding it to its library. Shutterstock's ads, get this, 385,000 images every week. So every time you visit, you'll find something new. And Shutterstock has flexible pricing. You can choose individual image packs or monthly subscriptions for the best deal. In fact, you can download 25 images a day with a standard subscription. And you can download any image in any size and pay only one price. Shutterstock gives you images you need to bring your creative projects to the next level, and they make it easy. Shutterstock has sophisticated search tools. You can search and drill down by subject, color, palette, file type, gender, emotion, and then more. Shareable light boxes save images to your light box gallery, then access them anytime and share them with your entire team, which is super helpful if you have a team that's trying to build presentations. Maybe you want to get your startup launched. It's a great feature. An award-winning iPad app. Yep, that's right. Search on the go and use it to display images during your presentations. In fact, again, you want to have a professional presentation. You don't want to just have really lousy images. Use something really professional so that your client realizes that you're serious about what you're going to do. In fact, Shutterstock is a global market space. Another thing, they have multilingual customer service in more than a dozen international countries and full-time customer support throughout the week. The images that you can get on Shutterstock cover such a variety. So it really, and with so many image resources every day that you can choose from, you're always going to have something fresh for your portfolio, fresh for your website, or fresh for your presentation. And again, you can share those images with your team. So you don't have to worry that they're going to download something off of, they're going to Google something and download it and use something that's going to represent your product or your brand inappropriately. You can try Shutterstock today by signing up for a free account. No credit card needed at all. Just start an account and begin using Shutterstock to help imagine what your next project could be like and save favorite images to a light box to review later. Once you decide to purchase, use offer code MM415 and new accounts will receive 20% off image subscription packages on new accounts. Wow. That's Shutterstock.com. And for 20% off image subscription packages on new accounts, use offer code MM415. We thank Shutterstock for their support of Marketing Mavericks. Again, professional look, professional presentations, it's the way to go. Been in marketing a long time, and if you don't have something professional, your clients are going to have the wrong impression of how serious you are about what you're doing. Our guest today is Liat Mordecai, and she is in Israel staying up late to talk to us, although not late to you. As you pointed out, you put in a zillion hours.
And I also enjoy.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure. And, you know, here's the thing. You're not just this entrepreneur for a founder of an app that's gotten hugely successful. And congratulations again on being featured on Product Hunt. I'm seeing all kinds of social media posts about the Product Hunt. In fact, if somebody wants to support you in that way, maybe check that out. How important is it, let's just say, to be featured on Product Hunt?
I think very important. And I also think that today it's doing something very, very interesting. If before I put a lot of efforts in, you know, trying to get press coverage, with Product Hunt, it really makes the things very different, because once you put up your product in Product Hunt, it gets discovered by early adopters and, you know, press, and even investors, and you kind of have a lot of traffic from the right audience that you really need, those early adopters. So I think this is a very, it's a great platform. I'm using Product Hunt from the first days that they launched from the beta. And I think it's a great platform. I really recommend all different products, new products, to launch there and see the feedback. And it's great in the way that you can have a conversation with those early adopters. And they ask you great questions, something maybe that you didn't even know what to do with your long-term decisions with the company, with the product itself. And they really give you great ideas. So I like it. I just like it.
You know, you're not just a founder and an entrepreneur in a very, very active startup space where you're working crazy hours, but you mentioned this a few times. In fact, especially as being an entrepreneur, you're a mom of three children. How do you balance? I mean, we hear all these, you see articles all the time, Business Insider or Forbes or whoever, talking about how it's so important to balance your life and your business, and you're going to be healthier and you're going to be better and you're going to be more able to be successful, but you also only have a certain number of hours in a day. How do you be a mom to three, a wife, a friend, and so much more in an entrepreneur? How do you balance all of that?
Very complicated question, and lots of things that we can say about that. First of all, I think, and I must say that, and I think for a mom, it's very challenging to be a mom and entrepreneur. And I think that I mentioned that to you earlier when we spoke about it before. There are some days that I can be stuck as a mom. I'm not doing a very good job as a mom. Those are the days which I'm the best employee of 24 me. And there are days which, you know, when I'm a bit with more with the kids, and, you know, I can't pay much attention to all the things that I want to do in 24 me. It's a kind of, you know, you can't win it all. And there is a price that you're paying. And mostly the price is your spare time. It's on the expense of your spare time. So I don't have much time to do most of the things that I want to do. But I'm happy and content with what I have. How is it like? So you kind of need to have a very good schedule and a very good discipline. In the days that I'm picking my kids, by the way, I'm surrounded with a lot of help and support from family and from people helping me, you know, being paid. And this is how it works. You need to get as much as help and support in order to achieve your goals. And as being an entrepreneur, you need to be here, you need to lead the team, and you must get help. So in days that I'm with my kids, I arrange my schedule in a way that I'm leaving the office early, considered to be 4 p.m., and picking the kids and spending the time with them with a very comfy afternoon. And if I have the time to get one-on-one with them, with one of them, that's the best. And and then after I put them to sleep, you know, at 8:39, the day starts again. Actually, the day starts again every day after 9 p.m. So this is the way to go. It's not easy. I always say that when I meet with other female entrepreneurs, it's not easy. You need to be prepared for that. And again, surround yourself with as much as help and support that you can.
Do you think that you've had any different types of challenges than your male counterparts as a female entrepreneur in the startup space and marketer?
The challenges are mostly challenges that I feel of, things that I could do more with my kids and couldn't, which I believe that it doesn't happen often with other male entrepreneurs. Other challenges, I don't find any. I think if women can do really same thing as men, I was raised as, you know, very in a very equal family, and in a family that pushed us to study technology. And we're a family of four girls. All of us are study technology and doing that. And my father always also showed us that there are many kinds of things that we can do, and truly believed in us. And I think that that helps in your future, when you understand that there is no difference and you can do everything and you don't have any limits. I think that building your career as a woman is very, very important. And when I meet with young women, I always tell them that they really need to consider what they're doing early in their career, and when is the right time for them to build a family. Because once you start to build a family, you kind of have a few years that you can't push your career as much as you can push when before that. So, you know, there are things that you need to consider and you need to plan ahead of time as a female, which I believe that other men, it's not in their equation at all.
I don't even think I can make a commitment to a kitten right now, much less three kids. I don't know how you do it. I don't. I mean, I know it's a very stressful environment and you're putting in a lot of hours. Is there a person maybe that you would consider a mentor, or maybe there's somebody else in the startup space or as a head of marketing for another company that you look up to that comes to mind that maybe you admire their work?
My mentor is my best friend and my partner in life. And this is Gilad, which I think that I'm fortunate to have him in my life and as a partner in 24Me. It helps a lot, because whenever we see situation, everyone has its own perspective, usually a very, very different perspective. So it helps both of us to get different angles. So he's kind of my own special mentor. As for other mentors in marketing space, so I do get a lot of help and advice from other people in the Israeli startup sense, and this is something very, very amazing to have here, is the true support and the help that you receive. I had a very good, I have some good friends that we collaborate together. We are meeting once a month to discuss about marketing. We're, you know, from different companies. One is from Google, one is from Billgard, one is from, you know, from all type of companies, startups and big corporates. And every month we sit together and we discuss about challenges that we have and kind of forget an open discussion, and how can we, what other people think about that, and what their solutions for that specific situation. And it really, really works. So you have all kinds of different minds working together. I really like it.
It sounds like networking and you know, mm-hmm. is important to you and is important. And I would completely agree. It doesn't just help getting the word out, but it also gives you ideas, and you potentially implement some of those ideas and your strategy, whether it's your marketing campaign or building product or pricing or whatever that piece is. How important are actually the really big events that you attend? I mean, do you go to any of the technology events? Are those helpful to you from a networking standpoint or a learning standpoint?
I do go to big events, and it really depends in how it really merges with my own schedule and 24Me. I think that as a young company, you need to really focus on not going to as many meetups and conferences. Concentrate on the big ones that and what you really need to achieve from that conference. Is it for recognition? Is it for partnerships? Is it for, you know, getting the attention of investors? I used to go to big conferences mostly in the early ages of 24Me, a year ago, to present 24Me on stage. And it gave us a great boost and great feedback. And as for partnerships, we're doing it more on one-on-one with personal relationships. It can happen in conferences, but you can do it even outside of the conferences. So it really depends on what you want to achieve to your company and in what time. If you want recognition, go and be one of the startups that presenting on TechCrunch Disrupt. Or if you want to have connections with partners and investors, maybe Southwest is the one that suits you. I don't know. It just depends. And it depends if this is the right thing to do. I'm not going to many meetups. My time is very, very, very limited. So I need to really focus on the things that I need to do. But I do go and talk when I'm invited to conferences for female entrepreneurs, for how to combine, you know, how to manage your life and balance it with your work and family. And it's important to me to meet with other young women and push them to be entrepreneurs and push them also to study technology so to get, they can be in a position that they could choose what they want to do in the long term of their career.
Well, I'm really impressed with what you're doing. I am really impressed with your product. I'm impressed with you, and I can't wait to meet you when you're on the Bay Area. And you need to send me that bottle of wine, the brand that you like or whatever. Maybe I'll just show you what we have here that's comparable.
That's nice.
if somebody wants to follow you, maybe they want to download your app on their new Apple Watch, which is tomorrow. Again, congratulations on that. How can they
do
that?
Thank you very much. So to follow me, I'm Liat Mord, LIAT MORD on Twitter. And as for 24Me, you just go to the App Store and look for 24ME you'll see it right there. It's I'm very happy to say it. It was one of the apps that was selected by Apple, named by Apple as best of 2014. And you can look it up there.
And go to your website, read all the press about you. I had a bunch of quotes. I don't even have time for all of them. Really impressed with what you guys are doing, and I'm excited to be using 24Me myself,
keeping
me organized.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll talk when you're in the Bay Area. Thanks again, Liat.
Thank you, Tanya.
Absolutely. That was Liat Mordecai. She is the co-founder, along with her husband, and the chief marketing officer of 24Me, which is an app that's going to keep you organized. And I'm excited to be using that myself. Could use a lot more organization. We all get a little busy, you know, things fall through the cracks. Well, not with 24Me. And you can get it on your Apple Watch if you're going to get one. You can actually follow me as well. I hope that you do. Please connect with me on Facebook or, I don't know, Twitter at Tanya Hall Radio. Google me. I'm happy to connect with you in just about any way. Or you can even email me. That's right. You can email me at Tanya, T-O-N-Y-A, at TwitTV. That's T-O-N-Y-A at T-W-I-T.TV. Let me know what you think and stay connected. I love your feedback on the show. Everybody, thanks again. And thanks for tuning in. Until next week.